fundamental basis of repentance, of the sin offering, of everything we've studied lately. Is that this thing we talked about yesterday, that you don't exist. There's a being that has been masquerading as you your entire life. And that's almost impossible to get our head around. And that anything that that being thinks or does or is comes from a point of reference that in itself is unholy and can't be holy. Jesus talked about this when he said to the Jews that believed on him, "You are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father are all you're capable of doing." Romans 7 talked about it when it says that it's no longer I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. And sin is a person. Until that person is seen as dead and given no more importance in life and breath, then we all are living in deception. The whole world lieth in deception. Now, if that isn't accepted, if those few sentences aren't accepted, then nothing else can be understood. What?
The idea of sin dwelling.
If you can't, you won't understand the cross.
Yeah.
If you can't, you won't understand what Jesus did in his baptism. You won't understand that now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. You won't understand the whole idea of the wheat and the tares. Let's go to Matthew 13 a minute. Well, you don't even know it, for most part. You don't accept it. It's not even taught in the church anymore. These scriptures that we're about to study are just ignored. The translation will, or transliteration, or whatever they do to it, will just take the power out of it. And so you have come up with the idea that you can accept Jesus as your personal Savior, or that somehow Christ can become a part of your life. And that's the fundamental heresy of modern religion. But it's not just modern religion, it's what every man wants, including all of us that are sitting here. We want that we as our identity could be fixed and improved. Start in verse 24. from Matthew 13. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat, and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. And remember, the tare is a weed that looks exactly like the wheat, except it's worthless to its purpose. Can't do anything with it. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? And he said unto them, An enemy hath done this. Really, it says in the Greek, the enemy has done this. The servant said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Let them both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. And then go on down into verse 36. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, Declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. And he answered and said unto them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so it shall be in the end of the world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity. And shall cast them into a furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. So the tares are the children of the wicked one. Let's go to John 8. Verse 31 sets the stage. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him. So he's talking to people that have accepted and hailed him as the Messiah.
Where do we go, John? What?
8. It helps if you use two hands.
My hand is cold.
Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Well, that's the first thing. He challenged them. And they answered him, We be Abraham's seed, and have never been in bondage to any man. How sayest then you shall be made free? First challenge. Then Jesus answered them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. Now here we are talking to the people who knew more about sin than any other culture. It was in their daily offerings, it was in every aspect of their life. And yet he said to them, he that committed a sin. Or the servant of sin. Wait a minute, where was I?
Yeah.
Whosoever committed sin is the servant of sin. And so what he's saying to them is, all your offerings that you've made, all the goats and all the scapegoats that you've done for all these years, hasn't taken away sin, because you didn't see Messiah in the offering.
I thought the offering was going to help you first.
Same as it is now. We think that somehow we can retain our identities and be believers. Can't be done. We're going to retain our opinions. Can't be done. We retain our right to ourselves. It can't be done.
It's like I'm saying the witchcraft involved in.
Yeah, because we twist and turn and do everything we can to the scriptures to make them let us live. Verse 37, I know that you are Abraham's seed, and you seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and you do that which you have seen with your father. He's just elevating it. Boom, 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 increasing the pressure. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham, but now you seek to kill me. They hadn't sought to kill him. They were believing on him. But he's speaking because in the moment they're going to want to kill him. So he knows that. So they seek to kill me. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. And Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. You are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will to do. I mean, the better sentence in that in Greek is whatever the lusts of your father are all you're capable of willing to do. Got it? So again, now he's pushed him to the edge of the cliff. This nice teacher. Jesus was a good teacher. No, he wasn't. He was a good son of God. And the lust of your father you will to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. You therefore hear them not, because you are not of God. Now all hell's about to break loose. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, say we not well that thou art... And it doesn't say Samaritan in the Greek. It says of Samael, the chief of demons. And hast a devil. And Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and you do dishonor me. And I seek not mine own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. Verily I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Then said the Jews unto him, now we know. Now again, in about 3 minutes, they went from believing on him as Messiah to Now we know that you have a devil. Now, if you want to see what it means to bring forth fruit necessary for repentance, then this is it. Right?
Yeah.
You want to know what that means? Jeff asked the other day, what does it mean to bring forth fruit necessary for repentance? This is what it means. You challenge to the edge of the time and space itself. Do you hear this? And Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and you do dishonor me. And I seek not mine own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. Verily I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Then the Jews said unto him, now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? Whom makest thou thyself? And Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom you say that he is your God. Yet you have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you, but I know him and keep his saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. And then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? And Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. They took up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Are you starting to understand what the sin offering is about? Are you starting to understand what repentance is about? It has nothing to do with what something, some aspect of your mind. Let's just go to one scripture in Romans 7. Verse 17. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Sin is a person. Sin, I will not even say a person. Sin is a being. Trespass is what sin does. Sin is more subtle, or at least as subtle, as the snake was. Because in this case, sin has convinced you that he isn't there. Sin has convinced you that you are you. Even though we've talked hundreds of times over the years about how every one of us invented ourselves, and yet you still give importance to what this self believes or thinks or does. You still give importance to that self identity. As long as you give importance to the identity or to what anything in time and space, and you'll never understand repentance, and you'll never understand the sin offering, because you'll be holding on and you'll fall from a strong city. So there's no need for a sin offering. There's need for a trespass offering. In that theology, that's why sin and trespass are so confused in the modern church.
This parable of the wheat and tares is so critical right here. It's the same thing. It's like two gospels. You either a vessel for sin and death or a vessel for Christ and life.
Let's go to 1 John. Chapter 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons or children of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man hath this hope in him, and every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. I mean, that's the automatic. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sin, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. It's impossible for the evil one or the child of the evil one to know him. In the context of what know here means. But remember, in Christ's earthly ministry, when he came as Son of Man and Son of God, the first beings that recognized him were the demons. That acknowledged who he was. And they ran. Not because of some tricks he did, but because of his presence. All right. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of Man was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. Now that's just mind-bending. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him. And he cannot sin, because he's born of God. In this the children of God are manifested in the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. Now, this if you don't know who sin is, then this scripture will drive you nuts. Because if any man, if you say you're not, go back to chapter 1 of 1 John. Verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare you unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and to walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Now that should be trespass. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. Now, well, we just got through reading Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. This was one of those humongous deals for me. Okay, God, I've got you again. There's a contradiction here. It says, if I say I don't commit sin, I'm a liar. And it says over here that whosoever is born of God did not commit sin. What's going on? Well, of course, it held the greatest revelation of all, that I am sin. I don't do sin. I do trespass. And I do trespass whenever I forget or lose sight of who my real identity is. And I lose sight of the cross, and what happens? The evil one resurrects himself from his deadly head wound. But I'm the one that gave him that breath.
Did Jesus trespass?
Of course. As Son of Man, he trespassed all the time, not as Son of God. Before he was baptized, he didn't trespass after he was baptized. That's why nothing is known of him from the time he was born, except that one brief little dealy about when he was 12 in the temple. And there's nothing known about him until he's 30. Man, if any of us were writing it, we'd have every detail of his life. But these guys knew. That would just increase idolatry. So it has to be the silent years. And he didn't go study, you know, some crap that you've heard. Oh, he went down to Egypt and he learned the mysteries of Egypt. Or he went to India and learned the mysteries. I mean, there's 10,000 theories about what he did in his silent years. What he did in his silent years is push everything to the limit. So he knew the emptiness and futility of human life. And then he could be baptized. Now, we could go to Colossians, we could go to Galatians, we could go all over the scriptures to see the same thing. You are dead. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. Now, my point is, all of the time we spend on repentance, all of this time we spent on the sin offering, all comes down to what we just talked about this morning. You understand that all of you, everything that makes you, you, must die. The physical, you know, whatsoever is a gain to me is a loss to Christ. I've suffered the loss of all things and count them a dung. The physicality things, the money or the whatever, that's easy. The thing that you suffer the loss of all things that just are, they try to hang on like like glue are your opinions. But you can't maintain, you cannot keep that opinion or opinions or stand, because there's stands. You're taking a stand. You're righteous about something in time and space. The Holy Spirit, when he has come, he has convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not in him. Of righteousness, the only righteousness is he's gone to the Father. And of judgment, because the prince of the world is judged. The only judgment. A little bit of understanding of the sin offering. Understand, repentance has to be all of you. It's not morose. All right. Anybody have any response? Mr. Bojo?
Are the words sin and trespass firm? Can you substitute words for to describe those? That, I mean, I've heard you talk about
sin can be self. Sin can be self.
I've heard you say shame.
Sin can be shame.
Well, there's all these different.
But they're just expressions of the same thing.
That's my point. There are other expressions of the same thing. It's not scripturally mandated that we call it sin or trespass.
No, but we can call it self. We can call it you. Call it me.
Well, you can't exactly call it anything yet.
Right. It's whatever makes you you. Some people, their identity is based on shame. Some their identity is based on accomplishment. Some, their identity is based on opinions. Most, their identity is based on air.
But ultimately, the sin or shame or whatever that is, that just connotes the notion that you can't trust yourself.
It's dead. That's what it is. It's dead.
That's so hard to understand. I mean, I understand the notion of it, but that dead thing is really. Please forgive me. You've thrown that at. I hear that so often that it's starting to lose it.
All right.
It's one way you explain it.
Yeah, but I still have to use the word dead.
Well, I understand that, but every time I turn around, it's dead, and I understand the concept of that. I understand the parable of that. I understand what that means. But sometimes it sounds kind of convenient, you know, when there's no answer for it, that I'm dead. I don't know.
Well, either way, it isn't a condition of the being, if you will.
No, I understand that.
Sin isn't a condition. It is the soul identity.
It is what is what you are.
It's what it is,
what
right?
It is, exactly. I understand that.
And so that what it is.
This is Ecclesiastes. There's no there.
Right. It's just a puff of smoke.
It's just totally, you know, for a while we used the word hardwire all the time till that got kind of old. But let me bring that back again. I mean, we're hardwired to that. We can't do any differently than that. It's what is.
And the greatest example, which we've all seen, is it's a really exemplified in the in the idiots on television where they say God told me that I was supposed to ask everybody for $756 or whatever the crap they say. The problem is these guys really believe that. After interviewing Benny Hinn, I'm convinced he believes his own BS. And that's the power of deception.
Well, we all believe we're on BS. That's
the point. That's what I'm getting to.
That's the ultimate.
Right. That's why the preaching of the cross is the only power of God.
Because it dismisses that.
It dismisses every aspect of that.
But you come around full circle again, and what can you really do about it?
Well, the only thing you can do about it is if you have your favorite word, integrity,
mm-hmm.
You see the emptiness and futility of everything that the thing can do. And so you see it as a puff of smoke.
When you you say I am sin, I got to tell you, that's like an 800-pound gorilla, you know? That's not something that I want to hear. It's like fighting words. I mean, I understand it. I understand it, but it doesn't equate. It doesn't.
Yeah, I understand.
It's not practical in my being. But I can definitely conjure up words, descriptions, adjectives to describe what I believe is what you're telling me.
Right.
And that's why I asked the initial question: are there other?
Right. No. It's important to. We've tried. You know. The thing that drives me nuts. It's not as bad as it used to be, but my God, when we first started, you know, everybody was running around and I'd listen to them talk, and even when they were talking spiritually, they were just using my words.
Oh, that stopped a long time ago.
And it made me nuts. I just, crazy. Because that's not the word becoming flesh, because your expression for it would be different than mine. Because it's supposed to be because of your place in the mystery of the bride. But it all has to have the same predicate, the futility and emptiness of human life. Without that, there is no repentance. Without that, there's no understanding of the sin offering. All right, well, we're going to move on then. Unless somebody else is some aspect of sin that they don't understand, we'll go back to Luke.
I just have one comment of something I saw where we're the same as Christ in the sense of coming to the point just as he come out of the silent years, because he had no doubt who he was. He tried everything, came behind, whatever. He knows who he is. That's the same thing. We come to a point at some time we know who we are because we have a man and we have seen and we've experienced him, and then that, you know, is our identity. And then we see this other identity trying to encroach back in, and we refuse admittance or we let him raise himself up. That's really wonderful.
Remember the Antichrist. In 2 Thessalonians, he's defined first as the man of sin, then the son of perdition. So it becomes apparent when you see this that the instead of Christ is you, is your mind. It's not anti, it's not against him. And that's the big problem. Again, when the scriptures were translated, I wish to hell they'd use some other word, because they took and transliterated the word anti from the Greek language instead of translating. And anti in Greek, they did the same thing with baptism. It's baptizo in Greek. But if the word anti in the Greek means instead of. It's easy to see that we're the instead of Christ if you accept that you're the temple. Unless you're an idiot and, oh, my thoughts are now sanctified because I'm accepted Jesus as my personal Savior. No, you dumb idiot. No, they haven't. Your thoughts and your ways are evil. Abandon yourself. Be careful for nothing. Take no thought. Well, I hope this is helpful to some, especially the ones out there in radio land. Take it, big guy.